lives, and let's welcome up our pastor.
Good morning. If you have your Bibles, open with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we started last week our study that we entitled Walking in Harmony as we've been traveling through the book of Ephesians. This morning we come to verse 22. Last week was a very foundational passage that we looked at. We've been discussing the issue of submission. Submitting to one another was verse 21. That's what we looked at last week and very foundational. If you weren't with us, I want to really encourage you to pick up the teaching on that, or you can download that online. You could call as well Equipping the Saints. That's our media ministry, and order it. But it is very important. We really took some time looking at the word submission and all of the areas that God has called us to submit. I think when we think about submission, the first thought that comes to mind is our text this morning. But we learned that there are many areas that God's called to submit. And the most important area of submission is submitting to God. Each and every one of us. And certainly as we look at the different roles of the husband, of the wife, of the children, of the parents, of the slave, of the master, as we're looking at here in Ephesians, that we realize how important it is for us to submit. We saw that we're called to submit not only to the Lord, we're called to submit, as verse 21 says, to one another. We're called to submit to the government. We're called to submit even in our church function. And we looked at just secular life, how everything has order. And that word submit means that. It means to, the word literally means to be placed under in an orderly fashion. Submit means to put yourself willfully under someone else for the sake of function, for the sake of order, to find your role and fulfill your role. As we narrow that down now this morning, we look at the marital relationship. So those of you that aren't married this morning, you think, well, this message has nothing to do with me. I can leave now or go to sleep. Well, let me just say this. If you're not married and you would like to get married one day, this message is for you above all. Listen, you need to know what you're getting yourself into. Especially this morning, we'll be talking about the wife. And so if you're a gal this morning, listen, if you're maybe have been married, well, I don't need to tell you anything about marriage, you know, and today you're not married for whatever reason that might be. You never know what God's going to do. If you're in that place today of either married or single, the word of God, it speaks to us. The analogy really here is Christ and the church. So the message applies to all of us. And, you know, I told my buddy Bruce Cook here, you know, you can't use this stuff against your wife. I told that to Bruce because he's a good friend of mine and I know he can handle it. We have a relationship of sarcasm for the glory of God, of course. I told his wife when she came in, you know, don't let Bruce use anything against you, I say this morning. No jabbing, you know, those of you that are married. I mean, this is a message like you're like, are you listening? You should take notes at that point, honey. And again, don't worry, ladies. Next week, we'll have at your man. So if he's not here this morning, you make sure that he doesn't skip out next Sunday, because important message for him. But our text this morning is verse 22 through 24, where it says, "Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And here's where it applies to all of us, verse 24. "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be to her own husband in everything." Let's pray together. Father, we do just thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, whether we realize it or not, we need it so bad. God, I pray you'd open our ears, open our hearts, help our wills to be surrendered this morning to your word. I pray for Lord, the women this morning that are married, I pray, God, that you would give them great insight. Lord, I don't know where they are in their marriage. I don't know how things are going for them. But Lord, wherever they might be, I pray, God, that you would guide them and lead them. And you would speak this morning, even hard things to hear, you would speak. God, for all of us as your bride, as your church, Lord, speak to our hearts about what it is to, Lord, submit to you. And God, I pray for, Lord, those that are not yet married. And Lord, especially for those that are on their road to marriage. Lord, I pray a special blessing, God, as they prepare their lives to take upon one of the greatest transformations ever. One of the greatest commitments that they will ever make on this earth. One of the longest commitments, Lord, that they'll ever make, certainly if they follow what your design is for them. And I pray, God, for great, Lord, anointing there and wisdom. Bless, we pray, the marriages, Lord, within the church. Lord, those that might be struggling, bless, God. Speak, minister, Lord, and do your work. We want to thank you, Father, and praise you for your word. Even though at times, Lord, we confess it's hard to hear. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit would say this morning to your church. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to start this morning with a quote, and then I wanted to look at 2 Timothy. You can turn there to 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we just want to look at that verse to kind of kick off this study. But a quote from John MacArthur. I want to say I don't only read John MacArthur, but he's pretty quotable. I know I quote him a lot. He says concerning this passage and the ones following, he says, quote, because so much of the church has long disregarded the full teaching of Scripture, many believers find some of its truth to be unfamiliar and even hard to accept. And because the church has been engulfed in, indulged with, and victimized by worldly standards, God's standards seem out of date, irrelevant, and offensive to modern mentalities. His way is so high, so contrary to the way of the world, that it is incomprehensible to many in and out of the church, end quote. How true it is, as we come to this passage this morning, some of the things that I've already read and will read, and certainly the things that we will talk about as we just simply do what we always do, and that is examine what God's word has to say to us, can be unfamiliar, can be a little offensive to us. But I want to remind us that what we're talking about this morning is not a man's opinion. It's not my opinion, your opinion. This is God's word. Not even God's opinion. This is God's word. This is God's design for the role of a wife with her husband. And that's what we're talking about this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I wanted to read to us to kind of kick us off. He says, all Scripture is given, verse 16, 2 Timothy 3, he says, all Scripture, that's what we're studying this morning is Scripture. Let's be reminded of what it's for. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. He goes on to say, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Here Paul tells Timothy, don't forget that all Scripture, not some Scripture. You know, we can't choose and pick what Scriptures we like and what we don't. As a pastor, there is a temptation to teach topically. if I was to teach topically, I probably would never teach on wives submitting to your husbands. But there are certain things I probably wouldn't teach on. I would avoid them. But that's the beauty of teaching systematically through the Bible. That's our heart in Calvary Chapel, is to teach the people God's word, not to impose our opinion on it, but simply to go through the scriptures. And that's what Paul here is telling Timothy. He says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that's why we teach all scripture. Notice what it is profitable for, not just what it's for, but what it's profitable for. It profits you if you heed the word of God this morning. Now, he says it's profitable for doctrine, for that word just means teaching, for us to learn and understand what God's design is, for reproof, that is for the word that we might use, the word conviction. It's good to get convicted. I don't know if you believe that, but it's really good to be convicted. Now, let me again come back to the premise that this whole series is based on, and that is your walk with the Lord. If you're not filled with the Spirit, as we've already studied in Ephesians chapter 5 there in verse 18, and we're not submitted to the Lord, then, you know, we probably don't want conviction. But if we're a person that is submitted to God, we're saying, God, where I'm wrong, I want correction. And that's what the word reproof here is. Thirdly, he says, for correction. And again, that word is a word that is used in the context of a medical correcting of a broken bone. It speaks of healing. It's a word for healing. I love that. I love that God, through correcting me, wants to set me straight back on the right path so that he might bless my life with health. You know, if someone breaks a bone and it's never corrected, that arm, let's say they broke, is going to be deformed the rest of their lives and is not going to be useful and will not profit them, like if it was set aright, corrected, took that time to heal. Though at the beginning, it's hard to have a cast on. It's hard to walk around. It's hard to have that bone reset and put back into place. There's a lot of pain there, but it's for the future of blessing. And that's to this morning. There might be areas of pain that we need to realize that are going to be for our health and for our growth, and maybe for areas of healing, even in our relationships. It's so vital that we understand that. And for instruction in righteousness, that's where we get the word instruction in righteousness, discipleship. This morning, you're being discipled, not by me necessarily. We're being discipled by the Lord through the Apostle Paul. The same way Paul discipled Timothy, we get to get discipled. How many of us would say this morning, I'd love to be discipled by Paul the Apostle? Well, how about it? You are. We are, if we want to heed the word. Verse 17 says, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And again, the man is either gender. The Christian might be a complete, again, the idea of wholesome, whole, the full believer are coming into what God wants you to be. And he says, thoroughly equipped. Oh, how we need to be thoroughly equipped. And then the charge in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 is to me. That charge is for me this morning, the preacher. And that is a charge. Listen, I will be honest with the scriptures this morning, whether it seems to be an offensive thing or not, to some of us. And I realize that most of us probably won't be offended because we love the Lord and we love his word and we want to be convicted and we want to be taught and we want to be corrected if we're not. You know, if we've got a broken bone, we want it set straight. But he says to preach the word in season and out of season. This message this morning isn't one that will cause the church necessarily to grow unless we're experiencing revival and the Spirit of God is moving in a radical way. Because look what he says in verse 3 and 4. Now, this is to you, and that's why I read it. I'm reminding myself, reminding us generally the Word of God, what it's for, reminding myself that I'm to be faithful to God's Word. And now to you, verses 3 and 4, For the time, he says, will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who's they? The church. The church, not the world. He's saying the church will not endure sound doctrine. You know, the word sound is where we get our word healthy from, health. The doctrine that produces health. They will not endure or put up with it. But according to their own desires, the church will come to a place where according to their own fleshly, carnal desires, they will, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Now, this is a prophetic word that is spoken by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. Timothy, there's coming a time where they will no longer listen to the sound teaching of the Bible. There's coming a time where the church will search out, heap up for themselves teachers. They will say, we don't like this teacher, we like this teacher. They will do it based on their own desires because they have itching ears, meaning their ears are itching to hear something that is pleasant to them and something that's not convicting. Those times came in Timothy's life. Those times have repeated themselves over and over throughout history. And we today live in those times where it is not popular to talk about submission. It is not popular to talk about many things of commitment and giving up of ourself to the Lord. But again, I'm to preach the word. You're to be the students that are not like this group. Notice verse 4, they turn their ears away from what? The truth. Jesus says it's the truth that will set you free. It's the truth that brings liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and they will be turned aside to fables. You know, as I look at books today on marriage, as I understand what the different counselors today, even those that are saying that they're biblical counselors today, you know, I'm depressed at the fables they're putting forth. Now, there are some great books on marriage, and there are some great counselors that are truly biblical. And there is great truth that will bring strength, and hopefully this morning as we study, we'll find ourselves in that category of bringing health and strength to our lives. But there is so much philosophy, worldly philosophy, that is robbing people of the true depth of joy, happiness that God has for them in marriage. You know, marriage today is looked at, and Bill, tongue-in-cheek, even made allusion to it. Marriage today is looked at times as misery. You know, in the world, there's a young guy getting married. I've done a lot of weddings. I've heard it over and over. You know, there he is. He's going to get married. It's the week of, and his coworkers are like, well, what are you going to do the last week of your freedom? You know, and they talk about, why do you want to get married? I mean, the misery that it's going to bring. And you're right. Marriage is miserable without Christ. It is in that miserable place. I mean, amen to that. When you're in the flesh, when, you know, your spouse is in the flesh, it's no fun. And if you're a person that's not going to walk with God and submit to Him and you're not married, here's my word to you this morning. Don't get married. Because what you think will satisfy you will, I just speak with absolute boldness and confidence, it will depress you. And you'll feel like your whole life is destroyed. Because marriage is about servanthood. Marriage is about giving. Marriage is about loving. It's not about being loved and being served and receiving wonderful gifts. And that's the problem. That's what the world thinks. So they get married under that pretense. And they quickly are depressed and discouraged and going off and cheating on their spouse and avoiding them and fighting and arguing, and it's a miserable life. We see God has something different, but we've got to fall into the role that God has called us to in marriage, or we will not have what we might call a successful marriage. Now, I remind you of the Philippians passage, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 16. We looked at them last week where Paul simply said, I haven't arrived, I have not attained, I'm not perfect. And I think all of us and those of us that might be veterans in marriage in the room this morning would agree with that. There's no one here that says, I've got it, I've nailed it down. I certainly can speak from the man's point of view. I can guarantee you there's no man in this room, and if there is, we need to talk to him after the service. There's no man in this room that says, I figured her out. I know exactly how to minister to her, and I've got a perfect marriage. Most men in this room, if we're in a men's group, and we're, you know, in time of confession and honesty, here's a guy who's been married 35, 40 years. I've been in them. I've been in these groups. And they say, I'm just beginning to learn her. Now, they're already grandparents to their kids' kids. And I'm just beginning to learn her. I think what the years do for us is just teach us that we have no clue what we're doing. Therefore, we need to know, God, what are we supposed to do? Right? And that's what God does. And again, we focus this morning on the wife. And next week, we will focus on the husband. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, addressing the wife this morning. And, you know, it would be better for me to have my wife talk about this. But obviously, that's not what God has called her to do, is teach men. I will be teaching this morning. But, you know, my wife was here in first service, so I can say a lot now. I was a little bound in first service. I feel an overwhelming sense of freedom right now because I didn't want to embarrass my wife. My wife is an amazing wife, and I am totally blessed. I mean, she's got to put up with me, and God only knows, and my kids have somewhat of an idea but really don't get it, of what that's like. But my wife is one of the things that attracted me to her when I fell in love with her was her zeal for Christ and her passion for life. And any of you that know my wife on a personal level know that she's a very passionate person. And obviously, I'm a very passionate person. Well, when you put two passionate people together, it doesn't make often for real mellow conversations, certainly when you disagree. And one of us has to submit. And I'll tell you what, I watched her learn what it is to submit to her husband in an amazing way. I mean, my wife's very opinionated. She's very passionate. And, you know, if we're going to argue, we can argue good. I mean, and, you know, to be honest, and she says this, I'm probably going to win the argument because, you know, I'm a teacher. This is what I do. And I'm going to use scripture on her. And I might be in the flesh. I confess that, but I'll probably win the argument, and when she follows God's role and she submits, and even if maybe I'm off and I'm disobedient, and we'll look at First Peter in a minute, and it talks there about how to do that, to do it without a word. And she doesn't take the normal route that women's nature says to do. You know, argue, say things, you know, nag, push. When she just humbles herself and submits to me, boy, she usually gets what she wants because God usually breaks me. And oftentimes, and again, she's not here, so don't tell her I said this because she'll use it against me. But she's usually right. I confess it. She usually is. It just takes me a little longer to understand that. But when she follows her role in marriage and she submits, I realize she's right. And it's a place where God is allowed to minister to my heart. Women and wives, this morning, let me remind you that when you allow the Spirit of God to work on your husband, he does a better job at bringing him to his knees than you do. See, it's very hard for a man to fight the Spirit of God. He always wins. And it's a lot easier to humble myself to the Lord than it is to my wife because I'm prideful. And also God has a supernatural power you don't possess in the breaking down of a human. And so God has a wisdom in the role that he gives to the wife. And if you trust the Lord, and that's what it's really all about. Submission is an issue of trust on whatever level it is. Certainly, submission is only really submission when you don't want to submit. When you don't agree, when you are going in a different direction. You know, you might say, well, yeah, I'm submitted to my husband. But the question is there ever a time that your husband says, we're going to do this, and you say, no, we're not? See, it's at that point you submit. Now, there are some men, I'll address this next week, that need to lead a little better and need to step up. Some men are led by their wives, even though the wife is, quote, submitting to her husband, the man just does whatever she wants because he wants her happy, and he thinks, happy wife, happy life, right? The old saying, happy life. You know, true to a degree, but a happy wife is a wife that's in God's role or fulfilling God's role and is filled with the Spirit of God. And so I think it's important for us to realize that submission is something that is challenged when things aren't going your way. And, you know, I've heard women say, well, I submit to them, but there's a line that I draw. Well, we will look at the Bible and see what line that is. Where is that line drawn? Well, let's get into this here. It simply says, verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. The first thing that I would point out here is that the wife is called to submit to her own husband. This is not a general phrase that women are to submit to men. Now, generally, women are to be respectful to men. Certainly in the church, the scriptures are clear that men are to be in that place of leadership, certainly in that role of a pastor, that a woman is not to be in the role of a pastor. But it certainly doesn't mean women don't have a place in the church. Listen, you take all the women out of our church, and I suggest to you, we don't really have one anymore. I mean, it would be pretty much a joke. But there's a role that they have, and there is an honor and respect generally to men that women ought to give. But they are to submit to their own husband, not to everyone else's husband. And I think that's important to define. Now, again, we're talking about the role of marriage right now. Again, that doesn't mean they don't submit to authority in the church or they don't submit to authority at work, you know, because, you know, well, you're not my husband. Why? Again, we talked about those different roles of submission. But in the context of marriage, it's very important and very healthy that a wife submits to her own husband. Notice it says, as to the Lord. The phrase here could be as unto the Lord. And I think this is a real key for you ladies. That submission is at times difficult. Again, when it's hard, when you don't want to, when you disagree, when you think your husband is, you know, let me be real honest, you know, and let me just speak for maybe some of you this morning. You can't say this because it'd be wrong to say, but I'll say it. When, you know, he's not really the smartest guy on the block right now. And the decisions he's making are just not wise. And, you know that. And you've got a better decision. And he's kind of a knucklehead. You know what I'm saying? A little slow. And, you know, you just think, why would you do that? No, we don't want to do that. And now you've discussed it together. And again, men, you need to understand what submission is. It doesn't mean your wife just never has a say, never, you know, can speak. She just, be quiet. I'm the Lord of the home, and this is what we're doing, and this is where we're going. If you are leading your home like that, you're a fool. God gave you that woman to be a helper to you. God gave you that woman to be at your side. Notice God didn't take her, you know, out of the foot. He didn't take her out of the head. He took her out of the side. He opened Adam's side up because she was to be his helpmate and she was to be at his side. You need her. And I think most guys that are humble enough and honest enough know that. I mean, well, let's let her go on vacation from you and the kids if you have those, you know, certainly if you have smaller ones, for about a week. See how you do. I mean, you know, some of you guys that don't have kids, you newlyweds, you know, you fall apart. I mean, you just Del Taco. And I mean, you're a mess. She's gone for a weekend at a women's retreat. And one of my biggest encouragement to the guys during women's retreat time is, let your wife go, dude. Bless her. Oh, yeah, I don't know. How am I going to do everything? You know, we need them. And you'd be a fool not to listen and not to glean and not to dialogue and bounce things off. I bounce my messages sometimes off my wife. Just, you know, certainly this one. I'm like, honey, what do you think of this and that? I need help. You know, but ultimately the man is called to make a decision after seeking the Lord. And again, I speak in a very Christian, godly, spirit-filled marriage context, which is God's desire. I know that not all of us have that. But I speak this for a minute here to the guys to realize that you're to honor and to love and to respect your wife and to listen to her, that point where you feel like, you know what, I think she's wrong. I think maybe she's right now more going on her emotions than on God's word. And based on what I know of God's word and his character, I believe this is a decision we need to make. And men, we need to be leaders, but we need to do it with great humility. And I believe a woman can follow that. A godly woman will not have a problem following that, even though if it's at one point. But ladies, for you, in following your husband, and when you feel like maybe he's not making the right decision or he's not walking with the Lord, either if it's at that moment, and there's been times my wife is like, Trent, you're not walking with the Lord. There's been moments in my life where I've been in the flesh and you know, maybe days that she knows if I'm in prayer. She knows if I'm reading my Bible. She lives with me. And she knows that I might not be right on at this point and not having that confidence of trusting that decision. But what is she to do? She's to submit to the Lord. And in her submission to the Lord, God has called her to submit to me. Now, you have to understand and believe and have confidence that God is sovereign. And God has brought, and maybe for some of you that are having marital trouble right now, this might be hard to swallow. But God has brought that man into your life and you're married to him. And God is sovereign in that. And you've got to recognize God has placed him over you in your marriage. I think it's very important to understand. Your worship to God will be affected in your submission to your spouse. That's important. Your worship to God. You can't say, I'm not going to submit to my husband and I'm going to church and worshiping. No, you're not. You're not worshiping God. You can't say, I love the Lord and I'm obeying the Lord and I'm not submitting to my husband. You can't do that because you're to do this not unto your husband. Notice it doesn't say, wives, submit to your own husbands for him, but unto the Lord. There is a greater power, if you would. There is someone else you're more accountable to than your husband, the Lord. And he has called you and he has set up the order and he's placed you in that situation. And you're called to submit unto him. And that is helpful because you've got to just pray and trust. Turn with me to 1 Peter, would you? 1 Peter chapter 3. Ladies, for those of you that might have a husband who is not saved, and you're thankful he doesn't hear this message this morning maybe, or for those of you that have a husband that has a tendency to just do things that are foolish. And, you know, there's those of us out there. Or is at times just not walking with the Lord. this is the word for you. God has placed this here very, very sovereignly. Chapter 3, 1 Peter, verse 1, it says, "Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, might be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Now again, if you're a husband this morning, you're not taking notes right now about what your wife's supposed to do. The notes you're taking is, "Lord, never let me be that man. Lord, never let me be that man that's disobedient to the word, that my wife has to just know what's right and I'm doing the wrong thing and she's just got to be quiet and pray and just try to win me over by walking in the fear of God." What a tragedy that's what sometimes the men of the church are like. What a tragedy. And I speak right to myself. What a shame to us as men. But the reality is there are some that are there or at times are there. So what are you to do, wife? How are you to handle this? Do you say, not submit? You go to church? You read your Bible every day? You pray with me? You love me like Christ loves the church? And then I will submit to you. Can't do that. That isn't God's design. God's design isn't saying, if you do this, then I'll do my part. That's not what God says to either one of us. And we'll get to the guys next week. If a wife isn't submissive, he doesn't go, "I'm not going to love her. She won't submit to me." It's not your job to get her to submit to you. It's your job to love her. And wives, it's not your job to get him to love you. It's your job and your joy to walk with your Father and to walk with the Lord and to submit to your husband. And in doing so, you're doing it unto the Lord, even if he doesn't obey the word, even if he's a carnal, mean person. And the word says to you, it says, and ladies, you know this to be, typically, I mean, some women are different, but most of the time tends to be your problem in submission is you might submit, but you're not going down quietly. You know what I mean? I mean, you're going to let it be known, and you're going to let them know you're wrong, and you're going to let them know, "Hey, dude, you need to seek God. You're carnal," you know, and that's when we start getting into our battles. And the tendency of women, and at times the scripture says, if we were doing a study on womanhood, the sin of women in the Bible is the mouth, is gossip, is maybe saying those things they ought not to say. And certainly within a marital context, the struggle that there can be for a wife who's got a husband who's not, she's not feeling loved by him, or she's not feeling like he's doing the right thing, to just nag him, to just ride him. And isn't it typical that God's word says, "I want you to do the exact opposite"? Because you think, if I can really lay it on him and I can really tell him, then he's going to get it. Well, let me just give you a flash, news flash. He doesn't get it. The more you nag, the stronger he stands. You know, the harder his heels. He's a man. Men are built with a fallen nature, and one of the sins of man is pride. If the sin of woman is nagging on him and saying, "Man, he's just pride. Don't you tell me what to do, woman?" And he can know he's wrong, and he's thinking in his mind, "Boy, she's got a good point. Don't let her know that." You know, and he just stands there and he's just going to dig his heels in. God knows that. But what does God say to the wife? This is what I want you to do. He says, even if some don't obey the word, verse 1, without a word, they might be won by the conduct of their wife. Notice it goes from conversation to conduct. Shut your mouth. That's what he's saying. Be silent. And now submit to him. Love him. Be that woman God's called you to be. Let your conduct shine He says here, look at verse 2. When they observe, men do that. They don't always tell you they are. You don't know. He doesn't notice anything. Yeah, he does. He just doesn't tell you. He's got a problem with communication, but you know, we're working on that. Heaven will heal it. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now, what fear is that? The fear of the Lord. And if you would, not fear of your husband, but respect. He knows you disagree. You've already said that. Once you've said it, you're done. And now you are going to allow, and I would put it this way, you're going to give room for the Holy Spirit to do his work by just, with your chaste conduct accompanied by fear that he observes. Now, listen to this. He says, do not let your beauty be the outward adorning or arranging of the hair or the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ordinance of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. Notice in whose sight is it precious? The Lord's. That's who you're walking with. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God. Notice that. The woman who submits to her husband is a woman who walks with God, who lives in the sight of God, who trusts in God. It says they also adorn themselves being submissive to their own husband. A woman who trusts in God submits to her husband. You can't submit to your husband if you don't trust God. Because you probably don't trust him at times. And when you don't, you have to fall back on your trust in the Lord. As Sarah obeyed. That's a heavy word. And I'll just read it. And I'll let you ladies think about it. But the word is obeyed. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Now, I tell my wife, you've got to call me Lord. No, just joking. Just joking. It's a joke I have. When she is maybe a little bit frustrated with the lack of my servanthood and feeling like she's doing a lot, she will say, yes, Lord, do you need anything else? And then I know I need to get up. It says, calling her Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid of any terror. And I just say that, you know, as a proverb say, the Proverbs 31, which is such a powerful passage about a godly woman. It says there in verse, verse 27. It says, it's 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Charm is deceitful. You know, beauty is, it fades. But a woman who fears the Lord, that's a godly woman. You know, ladies, the world says to you, you got to look this way. You've got to, you know, dress this way. You've got, and it's just vain. Listen, what really matters is your relationship with the Lord. It really does. And it's tough. And if you're married to someone who's not saved, you know more than I know how tough it is. But it's where you walk with God. And it's so vital, so important. Back to our Ephesians text. He goes on to say, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Again, just defining those roles. And then as Christ is the head of the church. So again, there's a comparison here. The husband is the head of the wife. In the same manner, that's heavy. I mean, you can't question headship. It kind of maybe dual-headed, one head's bigger than the other. No. You know, you're not a dual-headed, you know, marriage. I mean, dual-headed marriages are trouble. It's like a monster. Christ, he's the head of the church. He leads the church. And so the husband is the head of the wife. Then it says, as Christ is of the church, and he, now notice the word he is capitalized. It's in reference to Christ is the Savior of the body. A husband should be a protector. No doubt about it. And, you know, men, it's important for us to be that. God has called us. And even in 1 Peter, we didn't read it in verse 7. It talks about that the wife is the weaker vessel. She's more fragile. She's more vulnerable. She's not as maybe strong. She's not as capable. You know, my wife, I was at the pastor's conference last week, and she got this bench she wanted, you know, found on a Craigslist for like 10 bucks. And, you know, she's a woman that likes to do projects when I'm not there, so I can't tell her how to do it. You know, she says I'm a perfectionist. So I am. You know, we like things done right. But, you know, so she paints this, you know, like love seat kind of little bench thing. And, you know, she tries to do everything she knows I'd tell her to, sand it. You know, it was old and had been stained. And, you know, because she knows I'm going to, you know, better primer that wood. Because I don't want to, you know, because I'll be sanding it in like 3 months when it's all peeling. So she does, she paints this bench. And I mean, I come home and she's all excited. And it's a great bench. And you're awesome, honey. You know, but my son Joel, he's got like paint all in his hair and his legs. And he helped her. And I'm just thinking, where did they paint? Where's the paint going to be? She's learned. She's been married to me for some time now, so she put her tarp down and the whole thing. But, you know, she's now got this sore arm and shoulder. And, you know, I'm looking at it like, that's a bitch. She's just weaker. She's, I'm so weak. You know, and I'm massaging her for hours. Now my shoulder's hurting from all my massaging. But, you know, she's just not capable of doing maybe what I could do. And so there is that degree that we as men are to be that protector and rescue our wives at times. But there comes a point in life and comes a point in marriage where we fail in our ability to rescue because we're not God. You know, it's like doctors. You know, you get sick and you go to the doctor and you're looking at him to fix you, rescue me. And he tells you, you know what you got? We can't help you. There's no medicine. And you're just like, these dying. And it's like, what do we expect of them? They're not God. All they can do is say, hey, this is all I know, and I'm limited. And so a husband. Women, realize that. Your husband, if he's your savior, you're in big trouble. You're going to be sad. You're going to be disappointed. Ladies that aren't yet married or young wives today, remember your husband is not your savior. He can't be your savior. Jesus is the only one who can rescue you. He's the one who you're to call upon. So don't be so discouraged when the guy doesn't listen to everything you say. And don't allow it to affect you so much. You know, don't allow, you know, oftentimes that's how it is. My wife says, or a wife says to her husband, we got a problem. You know, with, let's say the kids, there's a problem. Kids needs to be dealt with. And so, you know, he's in his room. So I go in there and I deal with him. I come out. What did you do? I tell her what I did. That's it. That's all you're going to. Yeah, that's it. That's what I'm going to do. Well, honey, you can't fix him overnight. He was born a sinner. He needs to be born again. You can just, you know, you can't just fix problems. There's some that only God can fix. You know, and women have a tendency with their husbands to, you know, are you going to call him? I cannot believe they said that. Do you want me to call him? No, please don't call him, baby. Please don't. And there's like this pushing, if you would. Be careful, wives. We're trying to push our husbands to do what we think they need to do. And remember, God has ordained them and anointed them as a leader. And there's sometimes things that can't be resolved or can't be fixed, and you both need to go to the Lord with it. He's not the Savior. That's so important. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wife be to her own husband in everything. And I just notice, again, here the church and Christ, and for all of us, there's so much application here. But then he says, so let the wife be to her own husband. And notice those words. And maybe for some wives, those words they want to erase. The word everything. Just, can we erase that? Most things. Almost everything. Let's just put an almost in there. But the Greek is clear. Everything. Where is the point that you don't submit to your husband? The only time is when he is asking you to do something that is in direct, clear violation to Scripture. We talked about that. Same thing with the government, your boss at work, whatever it is. When it's in direct violation to Scripture. And there has been times that wives had to have to stand up. You know, husbands or unsaved husband asking her to do, you know, just immoral things. And just things that are wrong. Cheat, lie, steal, cheat on I can't do it. And clearly we find that. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the apostles told the leaders when they asked them to do something that violated the commandment of the Lord, they said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And so there is that time. But usually that's not the case. Usually the case is I will submit to him as long as he does what I want. And we call that submission, and that's not submission. But the Scriptures are clear. I will submit to him. And when he's telling me to do something or he's doing something I don't want him to do, I'm to go to the 1 Peter passage. I'm to win him over without a word. And can I add, ladies, pray for your husband. Oh, he needs prayer. I don't need to tell you that, but he needs prayer. And prayer works. And I'll just tell you a little insight about men. Men don't verbalize everything they're thinking. Even guys that are very verbal. When they're processing something, they do it internally. And you don't always see what's going on. And oftentimes men will put a front up. And they will, you know, be tough or be strong and say that. But they're really softies inside. And God knows that. And God's working on them. And you don't see that work. And so you think, I got to do it. I got to. But as you submit and you fall in the proper role that God has called you to fall into, the Lord is working on him. And as you pray and seek the Lord, and again, this is on any level of relationship, to be honest. As you pray and ask God and do what God's called you to do, whatever that might be, you'll find that God will work. And again, you will give God room to convict. And, you know, without being repetitive, though I need to be a little bit, his conviction works a lot better on men than your words. And just allow the Spirit of God to do his work. Church, I think it's so important for us to realize that we, and I speak now to all of us, the church, in the same way that we've discussed the wife, we as Christians are to be subject to our Lord in that same way. There are things God does that we don't understand. You ever said, why? And you want to answer. And God says, now, without a word, I want you just to trust me. And just know that I love you and that I am perfect. And my love is perfect, and I'm taking care of you. And I'm going to lead you and guide you through whatever it is. And it requires faith. It requires trust. It requires a belief and an understanding that God is God. Father, we do just thank you now for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, in our church. I thank you for the women in our church, God. I thank you for, God, their hearts for you. Their desire to worship you, their desire, Lord, to love you. And I pray for those that are struggling, Lord, in their role as a wife, that you would just give them the strength, give them the courage, the wisdom, the faith they need to submit to you in submitting to their husbands. And we do pray for the men, God, of our church, and pray that, Lord, you would just really stir our hearts as we continue to study our role. And God, help us to be leaders and guide us, Lord, we pray. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.